Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And then there were three. The Roosters and Cowboys. Just a win away from going to the big dance with the Storm. 80 minutes from one of the most memorable days of your life. All that hard work with your mates. Busting a gut together through pre-season training. Grinding your way through 26 rounds. And the ultimate reward. It's so close. You can almost reach out and grab it. Hey, not so fast, Tiger. Quit dreaming and wake up to yourself. Forget about the big dance. That's next week. Better get your head around what you got to do to get there. We don't fail. Having been through it all and felt the pain, I can tell you this. There's only one thing worse than losing a grand final, and that's blowing a chance to play in one.
Life is hard, that's why no one survives. I'm much older than I thought I'd be. Feel like a fool, yeah, like a dancing fool. Foot loose and fancy free.
Question. Do you remember who finished third and fourth last year? No, didn't think so. Truth is, no one remembers and no one cares. Might as well finish in the bottom three.
Oh, feet don't fail me now. Stand in the gutter, put my hands in the clouds. Feet don't fail me now. I just gotta move on.
Tonight it's the Boot Scootin' Cowboys versus the Latte Sipping Roosters. A few weeks back, the Cowboys were drinking at the Last Chance Saloon. Literally, their fate lie in the hands of the Dogs beating the Dragons. The Dogs saluted, the Cows put down the beers, and in the last 2 weeks have become everyone's second favourite team.
Me and my gang come to bust you loose.
The Chooks, well, they've gone from the outhouse to the penthouse, turning around their 2016 shocker to be within 80 minutes of a shot of the ultimate redemption.
That's the sound that's calling me.
And what about the clash between Taumalolo and Warrior Hargraves? The $10 million human wrecking ball versus the Bondi roadblock. Two Kiwi bulls charging into one another at 1,000 miles an hour. Boom! Let's find out. For Brighton's Lawyers, Triple M Rocks, Finals Footy. Live from Allianz Stadium, the Roosters v. the Cowboys.
Melbourne last night, Sydney tonight. Welcome the second grand final spot to be decided in about an hour and 40. We're live at Allianz Stadium on the most beautiful night. It's been hot in Sydney, but it's cooled down significantly. A breeze here has really got us in perfect playing order. Barely a cloud in the sky. The light's starting to take over. We're outside the ground, so if you're listening in Sydney via DAB Plus or through the web and the app, make sure you stop on by and say hello before you get into the ground. Dan Ganane here along with Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and Billy Harrigan. Girds, once again, hello to you.
Hey Dan, how are you?
Going well. Now, let me just update some Holden Cup right now. Parramatta 14-6 over Penrith, and that is early in the second half. Parramatta with a kick to come there. Manly upset the Dragons. Eighth place Manly have made the grand final, beating the Dragons 34-18. And in the AFL, a thriller there at the MCG. What a sight that is, to be honest. It's spectacular. 95,000. Richmond 37. GWS Giants 36. So it's a one-point game there. That's hello to you, Wendell Saylor.
Mate, long time no see, boys.
I know you'd be a little bit down. Your boy went out today, but
I'm disappointed for the boys in general. So the Dragons finished third. They had the week off. But I've got to say, Manly were outstanding today. They played well. Manly made the top eight by plus 7 points. So they finished on the same as South, and now they're in the grand final. They got out to a 12-0 lead, and I'm disappointed for my son and the Dragons. But I've got to say, full credit to Manly. They played some really good football.
Now, we didn't have you last night, Billy Harrigan. It is only appropriate, given the week that has happened, if we start with this.
It
doesn't just make the news, he breaks the news.
I heard a whisper today,
Bill,
that James Graham signed with St George.
Harrigan.
I go to bed every night fearing what the great Billy Harrigan might produce next.
Forget Rothfield, Weiler, Hooper and Reed. When it comes to the big stories, there's only one newsbreaker in town.
I won't give you the identity because you can't give up the source.
Bill Harrigan.
I'm not going to bet my house on it.
Two from two. James Graham to the Dragons. And this week confirmed that Des Hasler is gone. And weren't you delighted, Billy Harrigan? Received the text message. Don't deny it.
No, you got the text message. Someone stop me. I had a couple of drinks when I said it too.
So are you happy that Des got the sack, are you?
No.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
But I knew he got the sack. I knew that way back.
I just feel, I know how it feels to lose your job. I lost my job a few years ago at the Wallabies. So.
Hey, I've lost a job too. Yeah. You know that, in 2012. I broke the story.
Well,
it's not
mate.
My fault he got sacked.
Anyway. Yes, we don't celebrate the news. We just celebrate that Billy broke the news. Parramatta's kick successful, so they lead 16 points to 6. Did we see the grand final refs last night, Billy?
I think so. We certainly saw one of them, Matty Chechen. He had a good game last night, backed up by Benny Cummings. But now it just goes back to Tony Archer, whether he has a look at what Jared Sutton does tonight and then maybe go in with, if he thinks Jared's number two, going in with Matty Chechen and Jared Sutton next week.
How much do we put, and we won't do refs all night, everybody, but while you're here, Billy, how much, the quality of last night's game, it was an end-to-end cracker. How much do we put down to the refs and how much do we put down to the two teams? Because let's be honest, when the Broncos play, we get those sort of games often.
It's a mix. You've got the players all running around the field doing what the referee's asking, and he is reading the game and knowing when to inject himself or when to just leave it alone. There are a couple of things there last night that he could have injected himself. He didn't. He played on with an advantage. A couple of times they paid off, a couple of times they didn't, but he certainly contributed, or both of them, the whole team contributed to a very fast and a great game of footy.
Can I ask this question? Like, we know that there's tough players in the game and guys who are bullies. Adam Blair last night, he did a few things. I know he's a tough player, but he did a few things off the ball. We saw Cooper Cronk this morning. Cooper didn't whinge, it is the way it is. Mate, would have you sent him to the bin at some stage or had a word to him?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like what I saw last night. And, you know, had you had a microphone in my lounge room, you would have heard me say so. Which couldn't have been put on radio. Yeah.
Well, Joey was apoplectic last night. Here he is on Channel 9 with Sterlo. We'll go bring that back in a moment. Sorry about that. But Joey, you know, and you can understand Joey and Sterlo, halfbacks, they just hate it when they see, you know, one of their brethren targeted. In fact, here is Joey now.
There's worry for Cronk and back play here. He goes to the line and passes, and he's hit after he passes.
He's caught this all night.
He'll pass. Oh, it's Adam Blair. Surprise. That's a cheap shot. It's as cheap as they come. You got a bloke giving away 30 kilos. Big man on little man. He passes the ball and relaxes. We talk about player welfare in the game, duty of care. You got little halfbacks going to line and passing, and you got big burly front rowers smashing them in the back when they're not looking.
Well, can you imagine if he picked up a serious injury out of that or enough to keep him out the next week? This is the worst one because it's in the back.
Oh, teammates.
The game's tough enough without your creative smaller players having to go to the line in the back of their mind thinking, when I pass the ball, as Smith puts it over, now I'm going to get smashed in the back or in the kidneys or in the ribs. And we talk about duty of care in the game.
Yeah, there's enough ways to get at playmakers these days as it is. And I saw something in that game last night, Billy, that I hadn't seen before. And you often see those guys, the back rowers or the forwards, charging out at the kickers in tackle four, tackle five. Last night what I saw was when Cooper Cronk was actually going to the line and going to set up the set pieces, they were charging out of the line to get at him. Like he was a kicker, like they were trying to get out and put pressure on a kicker, then going through with the tackle. Did you notice that last night?
Yeah,
it was
a
ploy by the Broncos.
Certainly a ploy by the Broncos, and you've got to look after the playmakers like that. So they're not off limits. You can still knock them over, but the timing's got to be right and the hit's got to be right. And there was just some grubby things I saw there last night that I wasn't happy with.
Grubby but suspension worthy? Nobody was charged last night.
No, they weren't charged, but certainly there was a couple of things on there last night I would have liked to see him penalised.
Yeah.
And if need be, if he's repeated infringements, you turn around and go, you know what, why don't you go and put yourself on the bench for 10 minutes?
I was listening to you boys today on Saturday Triple M NRL, and not a great deal of confidence about the Broncos improving next year.
No, I think they've lost a lot of players, and really they've only signed Jack Bird. Mate, Jack Bird's a good player, and if you're going to sign someone for that sort of amount of money and you're losing five or six players, whether it's a young player like Herman Saasa, or mate, Moga's the same, and also, you know, you've got an older guy like Benji Marshall who's going back to the Tigers. Mate, you're losing six or seven players for one player. A bit like with the Bunnies when they signed Sam Burgess and they lost three or four quality players. It's going to be tough. I know they've got some good players in the 20s, but it's tough to fill at NRL level.
Yeah, just that part of the game where they lacked last night, and I think they've been lacking a lot of the year against the better sides, is game management. And, you know, Jack Bird's going to come up, and we're not sure where he's going to play yet. But Nick Arima, well, he's still only 20, and Ben Hunt's obviously moving on. He was their best game manager over the last couple of seasons. He got into a grand final in 2015, and then obviously, you know, Milford, we're not sure what sort of game manager he's going to develop into. So, yeah, I've got no confidence in, you know, what they do next year at that sort of level.
Before we put a full stop on the Broncos, could we see next year Milford at one, Boyd at six? Is that a possibility, do you think, in Wayne's mind?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think Milford, no disrespect to him, he hasn't, in the 20s, he was all right there. In the 20s, you can get away with it. He hasn't got the motor for it. If he does want to go back to fullback, he's going to have to train very hard in the off-season. I don't think he's got that quality, because when he gets tired in defence, he misses a few tackles, and mentally, mate, Darius Boyd, he's just such a fitness fanatic, and, mate, you know, cardio, you just need that at fullback. And he wasn't 100% last night. Darius Boyd was about 75-80%, and they played him for confidence, which I think backfired a little bit.
All right, we're here at Allianz. We will concentrate on this game shortly. We'll talk about Melbourne Storm as well. What about the Storm? They win 30-0 after bombing two tries and giving 4-7 tackle sets away.
Yeah.
So that's about as bad as Melbourne can be, 30-0. 16-6, Parramatta over Penrith. That is with 24 to go in Holden Cup. The winner will play Manly in next week's decider. Let's play a song. We'll come back and we'll concentrate on this game, primarily Warrior Hargreaves versus Tau Malolo. This is Triple M rocking the footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Prime time for Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today. Stations up and down the East Coast, welcome aboard. We're live at Allianz Stadium for our call of the Roosters versus the Cowboys. And how could you not play Billy Idol on a rugby league show? Billy Idol is Mr.
Famous.
Rugby League.
Yeah. What a moment that
I
was.
I love my 40.
Was that 2002, was it?
Yes.
Wow, good memory.
Yeah.
I can't remember that, because the next year you won it.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, a bunch of us are in the media section there. Most of us thought, oh, this is a stunt.
Yeah.
This is all for show. They're creating the suspense. And then he just walked off.
Are you happy with this year? You're happy, aren't you?
I don't care, yeah, Wendell.
I don't. Honestly, I care about the game, but Macklemore, sorry. Yeah, but
He'll be fine. Parramatta are in again, so they look home against the Panthers. Well, you can never say that in Holden Cup, but 22-6. And that is with 20 minutes to go. And the winner will play Manly. AFL second half underway. Richmond 38. GWS Giants 36. We are doing prime time for Fox League. I should mention Emma Lawrence is part of the team tonight. We're going to have plenty of interviews with her. She's scouring the football stadium for plenty of people for us to chat to. So we'll do that between now and 7:40. What have we made of Jason Taumalolo and the crew, by the way, Billy Harrigan, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, coming out and basically saying, bring it on to Jason Taumalolo? Isn't this bloody great?
Joe, Rhea Hargreaves, mate, I'm happy for him to say that, because I know that as a leader, if you're going to say something, you got to lead from the front. Mate, you got to rattle Jason Taumalolo's cage a bit, because, mate, he's had his own way. He's averaging 200 metres. He's carrying the ball well, obviously. Mate, he puts in a little grubber last week. He's working off the ball. He's having it his own way. I know we're talking about Michael Morgan as well, but when you let someone have it their own way, you've got to do something to try and upset them a little bit. So let him think a little bit. But he brought the challenge on.
Yeah.
And, mate, I love it. It's tonight, to promote something like this tonight, we know the Cowboys have done well, and the Roosters, we know they tightened up a little bit against the Broncos. Mate, I love it. That's what finals are about.
I actually think it works in the Cowboys' favour a little bit. I think it allows the other forwards in the Cowboys pack to just fly under the radar a little bit. You know, all the focus ends up being every week. The Parramatta Eels did it last week. They all focused on Taumalolo. And then we had guys like Bolton running 160 metres. So, yeah, I think he's obviously a good enough player. He's only 22 or 23 years old, Taumalolo, but he's got the maturity to carry that sort of weight into a game as well. He seems to enjoy it. I mean, The best thing about Taumalolo, I think, for the probably the last month of football, is a second stint that he does. That's when he does most of his damage. I think the last 2 weeks in semi-finals, he's run over 150 metres in the last 20 minutes of both games. It's an incredible stat.
Okay, so you can't stop him, really. How do you contain him? Is it a simple matter of gang tackling him and just wrestling him to death?
You've got to minimise his damage by, I think the first marker's got to get out and get low into him or try and stop his... For someone like him, because he's got really good footwork, you know, he can, and he's got good power. His mate, centre of gravity is very low. I think Parramatta did a good job on him this year until last week. You know, once you let him wind up, you let those guys wind up, and his power is so good through the middle. You have to get that first marker out, I reckon, to try and get into him really quickly.
Yeah, line speed.
Yeah,
that's what that Parramatta. I mean, they've had the most success with him all year. As Wendell said, they weren't great last week with him, but yeah, the other two times that they played, they were able to limit him to under 100 metres. Well, no one else has been able to do that.
You look at the Roosters, so you've got Warea Hargreaves, Napa, Cordner. Now, he is 150 metres every game, no matter what. Liu, Taukeiaho off the bench. Are they a significantly better forward pack than what the Cowboys are presenting?
Yeah, I think collectively they are. I mean, they all do their role. They rotate well. And what's good about those guys, they've got really late footwork. When you've got Taukeiaho coming off the bench, mate, great skills in that. Isaac Liu, I think, you know, he's overtaken him a little bit at the moment, playing good football. He believes how good he can be now. So collectively, you're not going to beat Taumalolo one-on-one, but you've got to beat him as a pack. But I reckon the Roosters have got a better pack, especially with, you know, Jake Friend there.
Yeah. Do you think he's the type of bloke where Hagrid is? He needs, you know, there are some players that sort of need that extra spur to think, okay, I don't want to embarrass myself. So he puts it out there. I'm going to be the man. Well, he didn't say I'm going to be the man, but bring it on. Basically, Gerds to put it on himself. So he won't embarrass himself tonight.
Yeah, gee, I don't know, Dan. I like the way that he plays. He contributes every week for the Roosters. He's an absolute competitor. So, you know, I think he just gets the theatre of what this game's all about. I think he understands the media, and he probably wants to get more bums on seats. And
good for
probably,
him.
And I just think he gets it. So he's just come out and put it on the line tonight, and it's been something that we'd talk about all week.
Good. Do you think the coach, Trent Robinson, will interchange Hargreaves the same when Taumalolo goes off? Does Hargreaves go off, or he's going to play his own game?
They pretty much do anyway, Billy. I mean, the Taumalolo sort of goes off at about the 30-minute mark, and he has about 20 minutes on the sideline, so from the 30 till about the 55, the 60 sort of minute mark, and then he comes back on for that last 20 minutes. That'll be generally what the leading front rowers do for the Roosters as well. So, yeah, they'll come together a fair bit tonight. That's what we all want. Anyway.
I'm waiting for the first one.
Don't forget about Dylan Napa. Like, I mean, and I think Hargreaves probably gets a lot of confidence out of the fact that that's his front row partner as well, who's, you know, performed in Origin games this year. So you're not saying that Scotty Bolton's not going to support Taumalolo in any way in the Cowboys pack, because collectively at the moment on paper, you'd have to say the Roosters are a better pack. But are they playing any better than the Cowboys forwards? No way in the world.
Another try to the Eels, so they do look home now. 26-6 over the Panthers, and they're in the final 20 minutes there. When we do stats on Triple M Footy, they are for Makita. You can tweet us anytime at @MMNRL. We do those for 4 and 20. The footy's on, which means it's 4 and 20 pie time. Hopefully there'll be some pies up there waiting for us when we get up to the box. Yeah. And prime time, of course, for Fox League. The teams will be in shortly. Surely, Matt Scott. Imagine if that little Swifty was pulled right an hour before kickoff.
Well, he hasn't played in such a long time. What was it, a knee, 6 months? Like, just no way in the world can you get the guy back on the field and expect his timing to be right to have the miles in the legs at this stage of the season. And the other thing is, who do you drop out? I mean, you know, this pack's done such a great job. How do you tap someone on the shoulder at this stage of the year and say you're going to sit out this week?
Well, he's in the 19. He was from 21 to 19. He's still there.
Nah, so won't happen.
Unlikely, of course, but still an outside chance, at least technically. This is Triple M Footy for Brynan's Lawyers. More after this.
Triple M NRL's great finals comebacks.
The 2000 finals saw two of the game's titans do battle as Andrew Johns and Brad Fittler went head-to-head for a spot in the grand final. It looked like it would be Newcastle's night.
Andrew Johns goes back down the right side with Kidley. Kidley for Elbert, he's over. And Elbert is in. A familiar combination. Shades of 97.
16-2 down at the break, it would be a Fittler intercept that would inspire one of the great second half turnarounds.
We're talking about the crowd tonight. And
Brad Fittler.
crowd. Making plenty of dogs.
And that's over again.
Roosters won 26-20. Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo footy for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future.
We're live at Allianz Stadium where it is still nice and windy but very warm here in Sydney for Cowboys versus Roosters kickoff around 7:40. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Billy Harrigan here. They've just finished the game in Papua New Guinea. The PM's 11 versus PNG. Now, remember, this is a week in PNG because their team is playing in the Queensland Cup tomorrow, the big one against Sunny Coast.
Yeah, the Hunters.
It was close for a while, in the end, 48-8. But it was about 24-8 midway through the second half, going by the reports. James Tedesco scoring a hat-trick there, and the Jilla Roos played as well.
How'd they go?
I haven't got that score in front of me, but all in all, a successful day, it would seem. Do we have to, let's not spend long on this, but do we have to start at least considering the idea of PNG in the NRL? If we're talking expansion and Perth, I mean, Matty Johns is very strong on this during the week and made a very passionate case. And here's a team that would provide 25,000 fans every single week. There are pluses.
Yep, you go.
Look, it obviously needs to be looked into, Dan. Logistically, I'm not sure how it would work, but I'm sure if the NRL had the resources, and there's definitely no lack of enthusiasm over there by the locals. We've both had the privilege of playing over there, and it's a brilliant experience. So, look, if the NRL have the resources to, you know, go over there and they want to look at that as opposed to going to a Perth, and that's the next... that's the next plan for expansion. Well, I certainly wouldn't be against it.
I know PNG have been working on a bid for a few years now to get ready to come in. They'd have to spend a fair bit of money up there to upgrade their grandstands and the playing.
But their stadium's pretty new. It's a
great stadium. Yeah, it's beautiful.
The National Stadium, it fits about 25. I don't know if the broadcast facilities and corporate and all those sort of things are up to scratch, but, geez, we've got some dud grounds here in Sydney, so, I mean, it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, but just a few bobs spent up there, and they'd be raring to go, and they'd always have a packed crowd.
With that mining money that they still have up there, we know the mining's strong up there. Corporately, mate, a lot of the boys still go up there. Mate, I reckon it could work, but especially tomorrow, I know a lot of people from PNG are coming down to watch the Hunters play at Suncorp tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mate, if they win that, let me tell you, mate, they'll be hands in the air, because I think, as much as I don't want to, there should be another Brisbane side. When you go, you know, I know, talk about expansion, but there probably should be another Brisbane side now, so the Broncos don't just get a monopoly on that market.
All right, anyway, so just a little bit of food for thought. I'm told Emma Lawrence, who is working for us tonight, and of course we do primetime for Fox League, where Emma also works, she has got the great Brad Fittler.
All right, Freddie, massive battle of the halves tonight. How impressed have you been with someone like Michael Morgan, who's really stepped up without JT there?
Pretty incredible, really. It's amazing he's kept his own game and then also doing what JT does as well. An incredible back end of the year, and I remember speaking to Trent Robbo before the game last week where they played Parramatta, the Cowboys, and he said, well, he's the best player in the comp at the moment, Michael Morgan, so there's a lot of respect from the Roosters, and I can see there'll be a strategy around him.
Have you ever seen a side hold their own without their star player? Because I know Bedsy said during the week when Joey wasn't in their team, things just fell apart at the Knights.
They were sober too, so... No, it's true. And the thing is, with halves especially, they have they've got the footy in their hand all the time. So to bring someone in and not only has the ability to do that, but, you know, it's all the little combinations with all the different players. And the big thing is he's leading the way, so they're all just going with him. But he's been super impressive.
Now, lots been made of the forward battle this week and this talk between Taumalolo and JWH. Who do you see winning the forward battle?
Well, I think there's about three of them that need to beat Taumalolo. He's just a machine. So I think the difference in the last game in round 21 was Siwa Takiaho. So he comes on pretty much when Taumalolo goes off. So that'll be very interesting around that period of the game. And I think that'll have a bit to do with the result.
Now, you were part of the Roosters side back in 2004 that knocked the Cowboys out, and Finchie got that field goal. What are your memories of that game?
I think Finchie put me in for a try, actually, under the post, I think. And I remember there's a bit frantic at the end of the game, and actually Luke Riggins was in offside position, got the ball, and they should have got a penalty. Although we only beat them by a point. I'm not sure what the final score was.
They were calling for a penalty, apparently, and the ref didn't give it to them. So the story is it was quite a controversial win.
Yeah, it was. They haven't had much luck, the Cowboys, in semis, but they got some last. They got some a couple of weeks ago, so but they're a good side.
All right, we're going to let you go. Thank you.
Righto, have a great night.
He's in the mind, Brad Fittler. Wait till he's New South Wales coach. He won't have. We're going to put him on the payroll. That's two interviews in 2 days. Yeah, anyway, well done, him.
Yeah, but you know, he's right. When he talked about when they last played here, remember it was 16-6 to the Cowboys at halftime, and Takiaho, okay, mate, in the second half, he was unbelievable. I think the Roosters won 26-16, and they did it easy in the second half. They weren't trouble. Luke Keary was quite good too.
He made 210 metres and played 42 minutes. Just outrageous. Parramatta, just about home. My Wi-Fi has let me down here, but 26-6, they were leading Penrith with 10 to go, so they will play Manly in the grand final of Holden Cup. Now, I've got some bad news out of that game in PNG. It's terrible if you're a Manly fan. Dylan Walker, suspected dislocated ankle. So how long, I mean, ballpark are we looking at there?
Oh, he'd be back for round one. You would think that'd probably be 12 weeks, Dale? Probably months.
You'd know more than me.
I haven't dislocated my ankle.
Now he misses a preseason.
He missed a preseason, yeah.
Is that significant when a player misses a preseason?
Oh, it just depends on, you know, the player, what his training sort of... method is if he's.
I think if you're a front rower or like, you know, a forward who gets heavy, who can't afford to miss a preseason, when you're an outside back, you can sort of get away with it. His confidence, he'll have to build into that season. But, mate, first month of the season, someone like Dylan Walker, it's just about getting that explosiveness back.
He might have been a fringe
World. Speed's an issue.
He might have been a fringe World Cup player for Mal. Plenty of contenders there, but obviously that would rule him out.
I'd be picking Latrell Mitchell. Latrell Mitchell is in my. Even Blake Ferguson. Right? Yeah, Latrell Mitchell. Mate, he. To pick a young player like him now in this side, mate, I reckon he could step up from through the World Cup. But for the next 10 years, Latrell Mitchell can play anywhere from, you know, wing to fullback.
All right, two to go in Holden Cup inside Parramatta 26-6. And we'll get you an AFL update. It was Richmond a few moments ago by 12 points over GWS Giants. In fact, it's 13 now, nearing three-quarter time. Richmond 58, GWS Giants 45. We're live at Allianz Stadium as we do, and we're here for AEG Power Tools, by the way. They bring us this wonderful outside broadcast here. It's always a great setup here at Allianz, and we thank AEG for their support all season. They bring us the verdict each and every footy night here on Triple M. Good crowd building, always hard to tell because they're just walking straight past us, but hopefully we get 25,000 plus for this one here tonight as we do prime time for Fox League. The only place to get Fox League is on Foxtel. Join today. Before, we've spoken about Brisbane. What do we make of Melbourne last night, Gerds? They made errors, yet won by 30. So they're clearly going to be not just favourites, but heavy, heavy favourites, no matter who they play.
Yeah, they got unhinged the last couple of weeks, didn't they? Certainly got rattled early on in the contest last night. And as they do, they stay composed and they found a way to get back on track, and they do that better than any other side in the competition. They fumbled their way into half time, and the way that Brisbane played really affected Melbourne Storm's rhythm. They weren't allowed to sort of win that ruck through the middle of the field, and we just saw Brisbane making really easy metres against the Melbourne Storm, which you don't see a lot of sides do. So, yeah, they addressed that at half time. They came out with a plan, but they were always going to play for 80 minutes last night, the Melbourne Storm. I think it was just a bit... Brisbane just lost a lot of confidence in the back end of that first half when they just couldn't score points. They had to come away with some points after the possession that they had in the first half. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then when Melbourne scored just on half-time, I think it just took all the confidence out of them. And then Melbourne just went on with the job. They smelt blood in the water, and they went after the Broncos in the second half.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Broncos were out of ideas when they had like four or five, you know, sets down there, and they kept trying to go through the middle. They did all the hard work earlier by going two passes wide, moving them around, and then when you got someone like James Roberts there and Moga and Corey Oates, they didn't shift the ball wide. And even in the second half, when they're down 8-0, 8-0's not too bad against Melbourne, but when Big Nelson dropped that ball, that was the opportunity. The Broncos had to score or get some repeat sets around then. And when they didn't do that, I knew they were going in for a long second half. I think we both knew, you know, we all knew that they weren't going to win that game. But even when Cam Smith doesn't play his best, mate, he just controls it. But all those young players stepped up. Young Curtis Scott on that left edge, what he did, Cameron Munster was down for 1 minute, you know, and all of a sudden he's making that big play. That's finals football.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, if you missed that Johnny Cash piece we did last night where the boys were opening up about times they've let their team down, we're going to bring that back in the next half hour or so. And for all you Roosters fans, we've got a bit of Trent Robinson to play. It was from the League Life show on Fox. In 2 minutes that we're going to play, you're going to understand why this bloke is so special. Oh,
love him.
We'll do that shortly. As we rock the footy, we get you ready for Cowboys Roosters live from Allianz. We do primetime for Fox League.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's lawyers. Protecting your future.
Welcome back here to Allianz Stadium, and the teams are in, and there is no Matt Scott. So that is the end of that. The Cowboys going in with the side we thought they would. And I'll just get this list up here as we do team news for Mungle Boots. So we're inside an hour before kickoff, and the Cowboys are 1-17, but Sean Fenson will start. John Asiata will go back to the bench. And the Roosters. Oh, hello, the Roosters. They've made some shuffles here.
Ooh.
Latrell Mitchell goes to the wing. Ryan Madison to the centres. And Daniel Tupou on the bench again.
I don't understand. If you're going to play someone like Daniel Tupou, you've got to start him. He's a starter. You don't start wingers on benches. I mean, David Mead is a utility. But someone like Daniel Tupou, and look, I'm not going to second-guess Trent Robinson because he's a wonderful coach. But
well, they're concerned about their defence out there on that left edge. And I think they've had some issues with it through the years with those two. They're great attacking players, but making decisions defensively has been a bit of an issue for them. And Ryan Madison, I think he's done a pretty good job when he's played out there, considering he's a back rower, potentially even a front rower. So, yeah, I think they're a more solid outfit when they have Albison and Madison in the centres defensively. But they've got enough confidence in their attacking ability through other ways to come up with points that they think they can do the job.
Emma's going to chat to Trent Robinson shortly, so I'm sure we'll find out the rationale. Is there a possibility, because Tupou's played one game in 7 weeks, and that one game, he's played 8 minutes in 7 weeks, that he doesn't have the engine right now to play 80?
Yeah, but I think when you're a winger, it's about pace, because you're not making the tackles that, you know, your middle or the halves are making. So you can sort of get away with it. Even on the back three, you've got to have that endurance base. So, look, you know, it is what it is. But, mate, if you're going to play Daniel Tupou, I'd like to see him start because, mate, he's a try-scoring freak.
All right, well, we'll hear from Trent Shawley on the game as we do this outside broadcast at Allianz for AEG Power Tools.
There are a few upset punters, I would imagine. First try scorer. Hey, he goes, he's always there. Kick, always one of the shortest price favourites.
Because no one could have thought, he'll do the same as 2 weeks ago.
Way.
Have you had an investment?
No, not at all.
No. You're just looking out for the punter.
Oh, always.
Now, we will hear from Trent with Emma shortly. That'll be a chat about the game. But Trent was on the League Life show with Vonnie and Lara and Hannah and Jess as well on Fox Sports. And they do such a great job of really breaking these people down, and they open them up. And have a listen to this. Trent Robinson's philosophy on man management and coaching. It is just extraordinary.
You're certainly the only coach I know that uses love a lot. Like, you talk about your players with a lot of love. Why is that so important to you, do you think?
I grew up with a mother that was a PE teacher and swimming teacher, and I got to watch people improving people, and that was a good lesson for me, and that's what I wanted to go into when I finished school. And I'm fortunate enough to now be coaching at a really high level, but I love the social interaction with players. And when you get the sport at the highest level, that's intensified. People are rawer, they're more open, and I love the interaction with the players at this. You know, each year they're good people on their own path, but sport's a really intense environment that calls for emotion, and we want to see that, and I love seeing that. So that's why I like interacting with the players. It's not just about attack and defence. It's more about the way that we care for each other and look after each other, and the way that lives are led through out of season. So if I get someone at 18. You know, good examples of Victor Radley or Latrell Mitchell or Connor Watson. Maybe not Connor, but maybe the other guys you might see until they're sort of 32, 33, and that's an important time in life. So to be a part of that's really special. So, I really enjoy the interaction with guys. They're good people.
The man management side of it must be hard, though, because you have to share a close bond with them, but you also have to be their teacher, like you say, their protector, but also their disciplinarian. You've had tough calls to make already in the last couple of years with players. How do you strike that balance?
I haven't told anybody publicly, but I tell my staff when they come on board, the way I see the role of an assistant coach is a big brother. That's their role, as being a big brother. The role of a head coach is to be a father. Now, that means there's certain rules around being fathers. There's certain things that players don't want to see from their fathers, but you've got to show them your heart. So we have to be close. There has to be a bond there, but the rules have to also be set. And that was the beauty of going through the step of being an assistant coach, that big brother. They want to enjoy some time with you. They want to enjoy some fun, but they also want to respect their big brother, and that's the role there. But once you step into that head coach, those rules, it's like, yeah, with your child. You love them, but you're also guiding them in their future. So knowing when to switch in between the two, that's the role of any parent, but that's the same as a coach.
Well, that's so strong. And I suppose for me, coming through at a young age, you know, being coached by Wayne Bennett, but even I look at a guy like Craig Bellamy now. Craig Bellamy was that assistant through the Broncos, the late 80s, and I think when we played the Roosters in the 2000 grand final. And to see what Craig Bellamy does now, so on days off, he used to take us out, like, and he'd go, "Oh, you boys playing golf today?" And he was like one of the boys, but like a brother. And now I look at him at Melbourne Storm and what they're doing now. Trent Robinson, I just love the way that he put that, because no one has articulated the way that Trent Robinson has, and you can understand why. Even last year wasn't the best year for, I suppose, the Roosters, but even, like, he backed Mitchell still, and he keeps backing his players. But even Latrell Mitchell, when he didn't stand him down, but as a young player, when you come in and everyone says, "Oh, he's the next Greg Inglis," mate, just let these young kids be themselves. And Latrell Mitchell, I think he's a better player for it, but a lot of those younger players.
Good stuff on the girls.
Yeah, it's really good, yeah.
It's different from 30, 40 years ago when it was coach was a disciplinary.
Well, they
it
used
was all
to be
about
school teachers, didn't they, you know, where they basically just, you know, you need to be seen and not heard so much, and you weren't, you know, we would never invited really to ask questions or contribute to the way that the team was playing or all of those things. And I say it continuously, and I said it with Josh Reynolds today in the Saturday show. You know, I think the clubs that have the better relationships between the core senior group, and in this case with Robbo, it's all of their players and the coach, are the ones that have more success, and they understand everyone's role and accountability, and they seem to flourish.
And I gather, you being the players, would know this, the trick to go from assistant coach to be big brother to the father figure, that I gather wouldn't be easy to all of a sudden not be their best mates anymore.
Well, not if you're at the same club, but I think when you go to a different club, you're straight away sort of, you go straight into that role. That's why, you know, they're talking about Jim Dimmick at the Bulldogs. That might be a hard transition for Jimmy, because he's been an assistant coach there. He's been the big brother for such a long period of time, but you find that most of the assistants go away and become head coaches somewhere else, and that's why it works so well.
Where it becomes tough, I did it many years under Robert Finch as the assistant coach for the referees. When you step up and take on the lead role too, all of a sudden you can't be their mate, you can't be talking with them like you did as the assistant coach, because now you also have that responsibility where the assistant coach flies under the radar. The media are always asking questions of the coach. Responsibility from supporters and everything comes on the coach. So when you're the assist, you fly under the radar. And when you step up, it's a whole new ball game. And I think that's when you see some of these coaches who have that ability as man management to be with their players and still hold that balance that there's the line in the sand, I am the head bloke here, I'm the coach, I've got all the responsibility, but can still man manage the players and be a leader that they look up to and want to play for. It's very difficult.
I think
very difficult gig.
I think trust is also a word that's probably used a little bit more now than when it was, when I was playing back in the day. You get head coaches that want to put a lot of trust in you and a lot of expectation on your performance week in, week out and through the week in a training, but they never sort of gave it back. You know, you had a lot of coaches that sometimes would talk to you when you played well, sometimes they wouldn't. You know, you just didn't have any relationship at all. And as a young guy and as a young man sort of growing and developing, you kind of need to have that sort of trust, and sometimes you'd feel really isolated and alone when you weren't playing well. And I think the coaches that manage those situations better are the ones that essentially get better performances.
Anyway, ladies, very well done. Great interview, but you've been doing that sort of stuff all year, and well done, Trent Robinson, as well. This is prime time for Fox League. We do this outside broadcast. We're here for the next, about 40 minutes or so for AEG Power Tools, and we'll be back on the other side of this. Triple M rocks the footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Ah, yes. Thank you, Aka Daka. Triple M and stations up and down the East Coast. We're live here at Allianz, thanks to AEG Power Tools, just outside Rugby League Central. Good crowd pouring in. Full-time in the Holden Cup. It's Parramatta on their way to play Manly. Parramatta 28-6 winners over Penrith a short time ago. And earlier, 34-16, was that the final score? Del 34-18 with Manly. Beating St George Illawarra. Manly, their second Holden Cup Grand Final. They made it a couple of years ago. Haven't won one. And first ever Holden Cup Grand Final for the Parramatta Eels. So well done to them.
If you get a chance, mate, have a look at the number 7 from Manly, Cade Cust. Mate, the kid was on fire. He threw this. Mate, the game was on the line. He threw this pass. It was Michael Morgan-like. So if you get a chance to watch the highlights, have a look at that. Well done to Manly.
And updating the AFL, Richmond look on their way. 83-47.
Ooh.
So a 36-point lead over the GWS team, and that's with 17 to go there. So they just keep inching away, Richmond. Although I'm just looking at some crowd shots. They're very nervous. Haven't been in a grand final for 37 years or something. So
last year, Western Bulldogs, they had that run. Like, wow.
And our Cinderellas, I know the Cowboys won the thing 2 years ago, but very clearly they're the Cinderella story left. In fact, it's quite unusual, isn't it? Because Souths in 2014 hadn't won a comp in 43 years. Cowboys in 2015 hadn't won a comp. Last year, Cronulla, 50 seasons. So we've got away from that this year because whoever wins has won one very recently. Josh Reynolds was fantastic today.
Yeah, really good, isn't
Triple
he?
M-NRL.
Yeah, he's real honest about the way he just goes about his life. And yeah, when he's on radio, he just doesn't hold back. It comes from the heart, and he was just really good to have on the show.
Here he is talking about Des Hasler and the situation there at Canterbury.
From a player's perspective, I just hate the people saying like it's a push from the players, because it wasn't. Like it's honestly hard for me to bag Des. He gave me everything, mate. Like he gave me my first start. When he came to the club, I was off the bench as a hooker. I didn't really know what position it was. He came there and said, "Look, mate, you're going to be the 5'8".
Yep.
And then, how can I bag the bloke? Do we need to change our game plan at stages throughout the year? Yeah, it's up to Des, but you know, it's up to like us as players too. If there's a better person to be the coach, it doesn't have to be a Bulldogs person, because you create your own. The players, that playing group, will create their own culture. But for me, I think it has to be Jim Dimmick. I really do. Like, he's been there for so long now under Des, and Jimmy is a Bulldog, like we said. He's got everything it takes. It's just weird. He just never seems to get a mention. But as a player, Jimmy helped me so much.
Now, Jim's part of the club, so there's a bond there. Dean Pay, even though he's, you know, Canterbury through and through, is not in the Canterbury system. So do we think Josh may have been affected by that? I mean, he obviously likes Jim Dimmick very much. That was a very strong endorsement.
Well, they want someone that's obviously played for the club. The thing is with Jim, they kind of know what they're going to get with Jimmy, because he's been at the club for so long now, so it's not probably as big a risk. And with Dino coming up, you know, obviously being at the club, being in the Canberra system now for a fair while, but they really don't know as a head coach what he would be like. So I guess it's less risk with Jimmy, and he's certainly got the respect of the players.
Yeah, look, I think whoever gets the job next, mate, I've got, you know, when Kevin Moore sort of, he got moved on a bit, Jimmy Dimmick took the role up there, you know, caretaker there for a while. But whoever takes that job next, mate, the Bulldogs fans, you know, they want success. And I think Josh Reynolds said, you know, today, he goes, mate, good luck, because they're so passionate. It's you can't just fix things overnight. Aaron Woods is going there, Kieran Foran, and they thought that Des was going to be coach. So, mate, Jim Dimmick, I think, would do a good job, but you just don't know until you're in that role full-time.
He hasn't worn a Tigers jersey yet, has he, Josh Reynolds? He can just tell he really doesn't want to leave Canterbury. We all understand the situation, it's still painful.
I think there's a part of him that will always be a Bulldog, and I think that's the way it is when you leave a club. You give a certain amount of yourself to a club when you represent them on a weekly basis, and I think when you move on, there's elements that will always remain loyal to that club, and I think he's excited about the change, though. I think there's something in the way that Ivan, the relationship's building with Ivan, that he's really generally excited about. He goes on to say that he's looking forward to playing with Luke Brooks, and the way that I think he believes they'll complement each other, where Luke's, you know, going to take control of the side, and he just wants to come in and play some football, which is what he does best. So I think there's, you know, elements of obviously excitement, moving clubs, and a new challenge for him, but he'll always be a bulldog at heart.
Yeah. This is Triple M Footy for Brighton's Lawyers, and you can tweet us at @Triple M_NRL. We'll try and get to some before kickoff at 7:40. We do those for 4:20, and we're still outside here, Allianz Stadium, old habits die hard.
Yes,
Allianz Stadium. This is our fourth final here, and only one at ANZ before we get to next week's grand final. Just funny how that's worked out. And we are here for AEG Power Tools AFL update, 83-49 Richmond, wow. So 34 the margin.
How long to go?
14 and a half minutes. There.
Oh, Tony Squires would be very upset about GWS getting beaten.
What, is he converted?
No, he doesn't want the GWS to get there because that Swan sort of, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I was going to say, Tony doesn't strike me as a turncoat.
No, that rivalry, no, he didn't today on our show, Saturday show, he didn't want GWS winning.
Okay, this is, and by the way, you boys are on next week. It is AFL Grand Final Day, yes. Which will be on Triple M, but you're on for an hour.
Okay, are we?
Short and sharp. Okay. So there we go.
Okay, lovely.
There you go.
An hour. That's all. Hour of power. I got a great hour in me.
An hour of power. This is Triple M rocking the footy live from Allianz Stadium. Almost did it again for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M NRL's great finals comebacks. Week one of the 2010 finals. Third place West's Tigers up against the sixth place Roosters. The Tricolours were down 15-2 midway through the second half. They dragged it back to 15-14, but the Tigers had a scrum feed with just 30 seconds left. Then came two miracles in the space of a minute.
And the Tigers, if they play cleverly, can use the full 32.
Well, the Roosters need a one-on-one strip. It's their only chance here.
Wairia. Oh, they've got the ball!
Unbelievable!
Iwasala has fallen on the ball! He'll play it on the 30-metre line. They've got to take it. They've got to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot from Anasta.
He's got it!
Oh, what a kick!
He got it!
What a kick! Anasta has nailed it. Brave Anasta has kicked the drop goal.
What a finish! What a great finish to a semi-final. That is so exciting.
The Roosters would win 19-15 in Golden Point and go all the way to the grand final.
Yes, welcome back live, Allianz Stadium. We've got Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Billy Harrigan. Updating the AFL, 84-55 Richmond with 10 to go. So 29 up with 10 to play. Let's go straight inside because Emma Lawrence, working the sideline for us for Ream Hot Water Heaters, is with the coach of the Cowboys, Paul Green.
All right, Greenie, are we 1-17 tonight?
Yes, we are. Yeah, so Matty won't play. I know that's the question on everyone's lips. So, 1-17. We had a good week. No hiccups from an injury point of view. So, yeah.
Can you talk us through the moment that you told Matt that he wouldn't be playing? Because I know during the week you said how keen he was and how hard he'd been working.
Oh, he knew the situation right from the start, so there was no tough conversations to have. He knew what the situation was. We have been doing a good job with the team we've had, so there's no point to change it. But if, you know, we had a couple of injury concerns that come out of the weekend last weekend, if those guys didn't get through, then Matt would come into the frame.
Now we talk about, you know, players' emotions heading into a game like this, but what are your emotions? You've coached in a lot of big games now. Are you the nervous type?
No, I'm feeling pretty good. We've a little bit of nerves, but that's a good thing. I don't think you ever get rid of that little butterfly feeling before any game, actually. The moment I probably don't start to feel that, I've probably got to look at why I'm still doing it. That's part of the enjoyment. That's a big game atmosphere, and that's, you know, there's a bit more on the line. So apart from that, though, I'm pretty relaxed and enjoying it.
Obviously, plenty of talk about the forward battle and Taumalolo up against JWH. How important is that sort of first 15 minutes or so for both packs to really assert their dominance and send a message?
Oh, look, you know, all big games. A lot of what happens through that middle area with the forward battle goes a long way to decide the outcome. So, you know, regardless of Jared Cole and Jason out through the week and all the other commentary that's been around it, which I think is great, I think that forward battle is really important.
obviously Hess and Asiata both were under injury clouds. We know they're playing, but will you have to manage their minutes at all just to sort of keep the injury under control?
No, I don't think so.
All right, and obviously not much more you can do for preparation now, but what will be your final words, or will JT maybe take over and Scotty for that sort of final few minutes before they run out?
No, they haven't yet, so I'm certainly not going to let them get their hands on the steering wheel now. Look, it's about, enjoying the moment, making the most of the opportunity that's in front of us. And, you know, these games are the reason why you play. It's a team sport, and go out there and enjoy it together.
All right, well, we're going to enjoy watching it. Hopefully the fairy tale continues for your sake. Best of luck.
Thanks, cheers.
Yeah, we appreciate Paul Green. He doesn't have to do that. They're not committed to talk to radio before games, and we'll hear from Trent Robertson a bit later with M as well. Let me ask you boys a question. Who do you think will get Dally M Coach of the Year? And as a second question, if they included finals results, would Paul Green be that Coach of the Year?
Yeah, Craig Bellamy for me. I think what he's done, I know Melbourne Storm have got some quality players, but those young blokes he's brought through this year, especially the way that Cameron Munster stepped up. I know there's Slater and, you know, Smith and all that, but if it went through to the finals, and Trent Robinson be thereabouts too, and also, you know, Brad Arthur, but I think if it was through the finals, Paul Green, when you lose Jonathan Thurston and Matt Scott, two of your most high-profile players, two of your best players, and you can still, mate, you're one win away from being in the grand final, and you're playing a side like the Roosters, I think it's a massive effort.
Yeah, Craig Bellamy, the reasons Wendell touched on, and then also the fact that when the Origin players were out, I think we saw, you know, guys like Brady Croft and the like come in and do a job, and just shows you how well the place is set up down there, the systems and the programs that they have where these young guys can just come in and perform at a certain level. So, yeah, belly ache for mine. And then, look, if they make the grand final, Greeny's done an amazing job.
Oh, so yeah.
Can you say about
could make an argument that they shouldn't award that award. I mean, it is awarded this week. It should be judged on everything. But them's the rules.
The playing as well?
Because
you haven't got coaches then that are participating in the finals, Dan. So how does it work?
I don't understand. You're right. It's hypocritical for me to say, because everything else is judged on rounds 1 to 26.
Yep. We do things a bit differently in rugby league. You know that.
Richmond are moving away now, it seems. 90 to 61. So it's 29 points. And they're in the final 10 there. So the Giants had a bit of a challenge, but Richmond have just got themselves back to a 5-goal lead. Looking at this Cowboys side, who is the most underrated of these players? I mean, you know, we hardly ever talk about Lachlan Coote. My word, he does some good things for them. And if you look at Kane Linnett, he used to be part... He played for the Roosters in the grand final in 2010. Isn't he a rock-solid centre?
Mate, when I was at the Dragons, there was a young kid. Kane Linnett was there pre-season in my last year there, 2009, I think. And I can't believe the journey for a young bloke like him, because in that pre-season, as a young kid, I just said to the boys, I don't think this kid will make it. He was mentally a little bit, he was doing it tough, and he just didn't have what I thought, he's got now. But, man, I reckon, John Asiata, he's played 5'8". He came up with a big play last week. Asiata, for me, has been a bit of the unsung hero. We know Lachlan Coote can do, he's a quality player. But John Asiata, for me.
For mine, it has to be Scott Bolton. I think his season's been enormous. 160 metres almost last week against Parramatta. I spoke before about how I think the focus on Jason Tamalolo takes a lot of the pressure off the other forwards and allows them to go about their business without creating too much attention. But I just think Scott Bolton, his ability to offload, and he's playing big minutes at the moment, and he's really come of age this year.
All right, this is Triple M Footy for Brighton's Lawyers, prime time for Fox League. You can tweet us at @MMNRL4420. We've got the Jack Links Beef Jerky Bold Predictions coming up. I hope we're better than we were yesterday.
Oh, we're terrible.
Did any of us get even close yesterday?
Oh, I think I got close.
What did you say?
No, you had Cameron Munster, two try assists and a try. Not even
Mate, I got 40 points in the game scored, and they bombed about four tries.
Yeah, right.
It was 30-0.
No, so you were the closest.
Too far away.
Let's have another great finals moment. Trent Robinson on the other side of this.
Triple M NRL's great finals comebacks. It's undoubtedly the greatest finals comeback that didn't result in a win. 2014, Allianz Stadium. The Roosters blast the Cowboys off the park to lead 30-0 after 32 minutes.
Jennings gets a ball away, a miraculous catch by Tupou. They won't catch Tupou.
Would be absolutely contented if you can describe a coach's contender. Maloney! Maloney's gone over to score. That's
5 tries.
We all went looking for the record books, and with good reason. But the Cowboys came roaring back.
And now Thompson again, Thurston again, stepping his own. Batted back by Minnie. Here he comes. Oh, he's passed. In goal. Oh, it's a try. It's a try for Louis. Minicello's head has gone down like a big favourite. So Thompson now. Here's Scott taking it towards the uprights. Still going, still going. He's over the line, is he? Matthew Scott has scored.
Unbelievably, it took the Cowboys just 20 minutes to reel the Roosters in. But the Roosters steadied.
For a one-pointer. Well, here comes the kick. Guerra away to Maloney. Does a bit of dancing and over the ball, and he's got the field goal. The end of an incredible game of rugby league. 30-0, then 30-all, and then 31-30.
The Cowboys coming back from 30 down. The greatest comeback that never was.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.
Welcome back live, Allianz Stadium. We are getting close to the kickoff, only 20 minutes away between the Roosters and the Cowboys. One meeting this year, it was close. Roosters won 22-16 after being down 16-6 at the break. AFL update, the Tigers look home. 96-61 is the last score I had, and they're only about 6 minutes. 103-61. They're running away with it with about 5 minutes to go.
What a weekend that's going to be down there. Storm in the grand final.
Wasn't it a good vibe in Melbourne?
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yesterday.
I want to get down. I've never done an AFL grand final, but or a big final like that at the G. I'd love to do it one day.
You know what? They reckon today's atmosphere will be even better than the grand final because today it's all the fans. Next week, a lot of corporates.
Okay.
So it'd be great atmosphere down there, obviously.
Yeah.
But maybe not 95,000 hardcore football fans.
Yep.
Wendell Saylor here, Billy Harrigan as well. We're about to jump inside. We've got to play this again. We had rave reviews, and it was all to do with you fellas being honest and open. And that was talking about the times, and Johnny Cash, of course, helped us out, and Nine Inch Nails as well. What about the times when the greats, like the Gerds and the Wendells and Jamie Soward, and Gordon Tallis, been plenty of successful times, but what about the times they've let their team down?
That one time in a big moment when I remember letting my teammates down.
I hurt myself today.
2014 versus Canterbury in the preliminary final. Missed the tackle for a try early on Josh Jackson. Really struggled to get myself into the game. The game really got away from me really, really quickly, and that can happen in finals. I came off afterwards just thinking, that's the worst. That's why it's called the roller coaster. You put your hands up when it's going good, and when it's going bad, it feels like you're crashing.
I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
Actually, for me, I'd go back to my first series against the Raiders, 93. I was marking Noah Nandruku, absolute freak. I get embarrassed. Noah Nandruku scores 3 tries on me and absolutely terrorises me.
I remember everything.
You just get disappointed because you know you haven't done your job.
What have I become?
I didn't want to let the team down, especially in a final series. It was a tough one. For me, that was a sign I had to be a better player.
And you could have it all.
That moment for me when I let my teammates down was when I got sent off in that state of origin. I let my 16 teammates down. I let the state down. I live with it every day. That night was a night when I couldn't walk off and look my teammates in the eye.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
When you haven't done your job, you've let the other 16 players down. Personally, you know, you let yourself down. I think that's the hardest thing.
It was pretty lonely for sort of 5-10 minutes, and then you get in the circle and realise that the sun's going to come up again tomorrow.
I wear this crown of thorns.
Well, it was State of Origin. It was the biggest stage of all. The 99 series, it was at Lang Park. It was Laurie Daly's last game, and I was handed the responsibility of goal kicking. About the 72nd minute, 10-all, we scored a try, and I got a goal kick from probably about 8 or 9 metres in from the sideline. I knew I could seize the moment and send Laurie out a winner. And I carried that with me as I was carrying the football back to the mound. And it was just everything slowed down for me. And even Loz came over and said, mate, all good. You know, you'll get it. You'll be right. Everyone knew what it meant. And I shanked it.
And you could have it all.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing. I took my eyes off the prize.
My empire.
20 years on, I think about it, you know, mate.
I will let you down. I will make you hurt.
Yeah, regret that.
If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
Rugby League lives on Triple M, home of the footy finals.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back here to Allianz Stadium. And hello to everyone listening through 104.9 Triple M Sydney for the first time. After Richmond had a thumping win over the Giants to make it through to the AFL Grand Final. We are about 12 minutes away from the second Grand Final qualifier in NRL. It's the Sydney Roosters versus the North Queensland Cowboys. You've got Ryan Girdler, you've got Wendell Saylor, Billy Harrigan, the best ref of all time, the Groat, as we've agreed to call you.
He likes it too.
The Groat, greatest referee of all time.
And it doesn't really sound good, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And let's in fact go straight downstairs because Emma Lawrence has Trent Robinson.
Okay, Robbo, any late changes or everyone good to go?
No, everyone's good to go, so we'll start. Madison and have Tup on the bench as we did against Brisbane, but other than that, the 17 stays the same.
Obviously, Keary had that food poisoning during the week. He's right to go, obviously, if he's playing, but how much did it affect him? Is he back to 100% health?
Oh, I think he should be. You know, I think, you know, it hits everybody every week, and, you know, they obviously recover a bit quicker being athletes, and they do what's necessary during the week. So, yeah, he's ready to go.
I know you're a big fan of Michael Morgan. I guess you can't really sort of stop the impact he has. How do you limit his involvement on this game?
Oh, well, we need to prove that tonight. You know, there's lots of methods and, you know, we've done well in the past, but he's in good form, but we're going to make sure that we defend well and cut down his options.
And Taumalolo, what's the game plan to stop him?
Yeah, look, I might leave that to the players out there. We're not going to go through it all before the game.
Now, obviously, you've played in some big games now as a coached in some big games. What are your emotions? Are you the very calm type? Do you get a bit nervous?
No, all pretty good. You know, you obviously important games. You want to make sure that you prepare the team well and go into it. But, you know, you work so hard to be here at this time of year. You're pretty excited about being here, so you want to enjoy it at the same time.
And I know you've had some scrappy, I guess, wins towards this back end of the season. What have you done in this last fortnight to ensure that tonight is an 80-minute performance?
Yeah, we've prepared well. You know, we've played well. We finished second in the regular season. We, you know, had a tight one against Brisbane. But, you know, we need to prove that tonight. We need to prove that we're ready to go.
All right, best of luck.
Thanks.
Question from Emma, but I think Trent is sick of talking about his team's not playing 80 minutes. But it's a fact. It has been an issue. But, Gerds, they keep winning close. 18 wins this season, 12 of them have been when the game's decided by six or less. In fact, in those games, 15 of their games have been decided by less, a converted trial, less 12 out of 15. That is an extraordinary, that's an extraordinary record in tight games.
Look, the concern for me tonight about the Roosters, Dan, is the fact that they haven't had really a great run in. They haven't really had teams recently that are preparing for tonight. It's encounter against the Cowboys, who come in seasoned and they've been playing a lot of hard matches. The Roosters, look, a couple of weeks ago, they came up against the Broncos. The Broncos weren't great, and the Roosters found a way to win that late. The week before, they played the Titans again. You know, they weren't great, but they found a way to win. It's been 4 or 5 weeks ago since they went down to Melbourne, since they've really had a game that's, I believe, is going to be something similar to what they face tonight. So, yeah, I think there's potentially a bit of an ambush here for the Cowboys, who come in after probably 7 or 8 weeks now of really tough finals footy. Even though they haven't won all of those games, they've beat the Parramatta Eels, they've beat the Sharks the week before. They're two seasoned football sides that are hard to beat at any time of the year, let alone finals time. So, yeah, look out. The Cowboys will probably go in with a little bit of confidence, knowing that they're probably a little bit more match fit for a game like tonight.
On that, Wendell,
this game last year saw Cronulla blast the Cowboys. The Cowboys ran out of puff. It was a long premiership defence, and in the end, they had nothing left in the tank. Is there the distinct possibility that could happen tonight? That, yes, they are match fit, but maybe the tank is empty.
100%. The last couple of months, what they've had to do to get here, obviously the Bulldogs did them a favour by knocking off the Dragons. But I remember this corresponding game last year where they just got found at the edge. And I think it was Cohen Hess. James Maloney carved him up through that edge there. I think he missed 7 tackles that game. Mate, there is, every week you go back to towns when you do the road trip, I know they say that, you know, you don't really worry about it, but it does catch up on you. So whether it's this week or next week, I reckon that's got to take an effect on you. But when you leave Townsville, mate, to have that crowd turn up every week, yes, the euphoria, like, this is like a, you know, the fairy tale was a couple of years ago, but this is like icing, you know.
It is amazing, because you would have thought maybe when they won the comp that the crowds at the airport wouldn't be there anymore, because they've reached the Holy Grail, but they're there every year.
They love it. Even that Thursday night game, that last game, I think it was against the Broncos or whatever, mate, it was sold out. They love their football in North Queensland, and they're loving what's happening at the moment.
Well, people know honesty. They recognise hard work and honesty.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, Paul Green has instilled that in them, but it's always part of that North Queensland culture.
Billy, the refs tonight, Jared Sutton, Adam G. We had a great game last night in terms of officiating. What do we expect from these two?
Well, Jerry's been known to blow the penalties early and can have a big penalty count. So, again, it'll come down to what the teams do. And then the G-man, he's still relatively new to big footy and semi-final series and all that sort of thing. So it is a very odd pairing. The expectations of these blokes is to do similar to last night, let the game flow, let the players get out there and really rip in and just let this game go up and down the paddock. And if you need to stamp your authority on it to get your 10 metres, do it early, set that standard, and then try and maintain that through the rest of the week, through the game. Next week, the big challenge is, does Tony Archer go with the pairing of two top referees who have plenty of experience in Matty Chetch and Benny Cummins from last night? Or does he turn around and say, I'll take Jared Sutton along with Matty Chetch? And Matty Chetch is number one at the moment by far. So it'll be interesting to see what he does next week.
All right. I'm told Emma Lawrence has got another special guest, this time from Fox League, Brett Finch.
All right, Finchie, before we get into this game, I want to ask you about the 2004 prelim. You kicked the winning field goal to get the Roosters into the grand final. Tell me your memories about that game.
Yeah, the glory days. Yeah, that was 2004, and similar situation sort of to tonight's game. We were minor premiers and won the first week of the semi-final, so there's a lot of pressure under us. And the Cowboys, I think, had made, I think it was their first final series that year and went on a bit of a run, beat the Broncos in the second week of the finals and found themselves as the underdogs against us Roosters and really took us to it the whole game. So I think we ended up getting home by 3 points that day and made the grand final and lost to the Bulldogs in the grand final. But a similar situation, the Cowboys were the heavy underdogs and as the Roosters, we were favourites, and it'll be the same situation here. So hopefully the same result for the Roosters fans, I'm sure.
Good on you, Em. Good on you, Brett Finch. Thank you very much. We had to cut that short because we have to take one final ad break, and then it's the Roosters and the Cowboys live on Triple M Footy.
Triple M Rocks Finals Footy. For our mates at Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M 104.9.
Welcome to the second last game of the season, where tonight only two things are assured: the promise of an opportunity and the devastation of being so close. One team seemingly on a course to the big one all year, and the other riding a wave that has the game captivated: the Roosters and the Cowboys. A team of stars versus a team of destiny. Can the Roosters finally nail it down for 80 minutes? They might have to, because the Cowboys seem to be getting better by the week. Have Pearce and Co got the composure? And who's going to stop Taumalolo? Warrior Hargreaves, Napa, Taukeiaho, Liu, all of them? Let's get down to business. The Roosters from the eastern suburbs of Sydney and the Cowboys from North Queensland. Live on Triple M Footy. And out come the cheerleaders, so the teams aren't far away. We're watching vision of Paul Green, his final speech. It's rather stern. There's pointed fingers. They're all listening intently. What a ride it's been for these Cowboys. It seems like a year ago, Gerds were at ANZ Stadium.
Yeah.
And the Dragons seemed destined to be that eighth team. And it was only a late Canterbury charge that really
has allowed the Cowboys to be here tonight on the most beautiful night in Sydney. The hot day has subsided. It's now just glorious. Low 20s, gentle breeze. It is absolutely perfect. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Billy Harrigan, Emma Lawrence on the sideline tonight for Ream Hot Water Heaters.
And that's a big hurdle in itself, Dan, to be able to overcome that, to be sitting there, you know, watching that game, probably with the boys, thinking, well, we're almost on Mad Monday here, to be, be able to overcome that, then get back, get your mind on the job, come up with two stirring victories and put yourself in a prelim grand final qualifier. I mean, it just shows the character of the North Queensland Cowboys Club.
Jack Link's beef jerky, bold predictions. Wendell, you can go first.
Yes, well, I think Michael Morgan, he's been on fire, so I'm going to jump on his bandwagon again. I'm going to go Michael Morgan, two try assists and one try.
Okay, Billy the Groat Harrigan.
Mitch Orbison, Latrell Mitchell, Blake Ferguson, all scoring tries.
Okay, so you're tipping a Roosters win, I gather.
Yeah, but I'd still, you know, I love this fairy tale with the Cowboys.
Emma Lawrence on the sideline. Jack Link's beef jerky bowl prediction.
I'm tipping the Cowboys, and I'm thinking maybe Michael Morgan to get a double.
Oh,
okay. She's up the ante.
There we go. Well, Emma, we were thinking Cowboys to win. That's not bold enough, but you certainly you got bold in the end. Ryan Girdler.
I'm going to say Kyle Felt, first and last try scorer.
Oh, that is... You'd get 100 to 1 for that with our friends at UBet.
Well, you want to take it?
Put me down for... I've got a great expense ahead of me now. I can't afford anything. And the Cowboys, I'm tipping leading at halftime, but the Roosters to win.
Yeah.
So halftime, nice. Full-time, double Cowboys to lead. All right, so there's some good Jack Link's beef jerky bowl predictions. Well, we hope. Feed your wild side, find it in the snack aisle today. So here they come, the North Queensland Cowboys, 13 days ago. They came out and upset the Cronulla Sharks. And here on a Saturday night, they stare down the barrel of an unlikely grand final. And here they come. Ryan Girdler, take us through North Queensland.
Yeah, Coote at the backfield and Winterstein on the wings. O'Neill and Linnett in the centres. Martin and Morgan are the halves. Now, Asiatica moves back to the bench and Sean Fenton starts as he did last week. Granville and Bolton will be with him up front. Gavin Cooper, Ethan Lowe, that man Tom Malolo locking the scrum. On the bench, Hampton, Hess, Jensen, and as I said, Asiata.
North Queensland, 1-17, no Matt Scott. He was there for the warm-ups, and maybe he'll be there on grand final day if they get there.
Opening 20 minutes, Dan, are absolutely key as the Roosters come out. The worst period for the Cowboys and the best for the Roosters all year.
Jake Friend leads them out. Their team, Michael Gordon, Latrell Mitchell on the wing. Mitch Orbison, Ryan Madison, the centres. Blake Ferguson, the wing. Luke Keary, Mitchell Pearce, the halves. Jared Oria, Hargreaves, Dylan Knapp on the front row. Jake Friend, the hooker. What a back row. Cordner, Guerra, Liu, and the bench, Daniel Tupo. Siwa Taukayaho, Zane Tedovano, and Connor Watson. The Sydney Roosters looking for their first grand final since their premiership win in 2013. The Cowboys will be kicking off and running to the Oxford Street end, the Paddington end of this Sydney Football Stadium, the Roosters towards the SCG, the South. Wendell, a tip.
Yep, I'm going to go with the Roosters by 6.
Ryan Girdler.
Cowboys in a thriller.
Emma.
Cowboys by 16.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That could have been your bold prediction in itself, Billy.
I'll counter that. Roosters by 16.
Okay, so it's a split decision here at Triple M NRL. Well, we are just about ready. The Melbourne Storm are waiting. And the Roosters and the Cowboys are ready.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.